The good news of the gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestors Abraham to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The good news of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, good morning. It is good to be with you. I just got back from a two-week vacation out west with my wife, Kelly. It was amazing. We went and we rented a camper van out in Phoenix, and we drove up to the Grand Canyon. We did Zion National Park, Bryce Canyon, Lake Powell, everything in between. We were out there for 9 or 10 days and hiked and just took it all in. It was amazing. Just amazing. For those of you who have been out there, you know what I'm talking about. Pictures and words don't do it justice. Every place you look, you can't help but see the fingerprints of God, our Creator, on everything. I mean, it's impossible to take a bad picture out there. It's just beautiful. And with this trip, this is actually a trip we've been planning for a very long time. This was supposed to be our 5-year anniversary trip that last summer of 2020. It was actually coming 6 months after our 5-year anniversary, but we were supposed to go last summer. Of course, that got canceled, and we pushed it to last November, and that got canceled, and we pushed it to this November. So third time's a charm. We finally made it happen, but the anticipation has been building and building as we've been waiting for this trip. Every time we've had to reschedule, we've picked different campsites, we've reviewed the trails that we were going to hike, and ultimately I think it actually made it a better trip because it gave us more time to talk to other people, to do research, and it ended up being just a phenomenal, phenomenal trip. But that anticipation of, come on, are we there yet? Are we getting there? We want to make sure this happens, was just almost agonizing until it finally happened. I think that the story of anticipation is one that most of you can probably relate to, especially over these past couple of years. I mean, let's be honest, these last 2 years or so have been filled with anticipation, and not always the good kind of anticipation, right? We've been anticipating vaccines, reopenings, the latest information on new variants, changes to plans, what's going to happen next, and ultimately, when is this whole pandemic going to be over? Sitting, just anticipating all of this, and boy, can it be exhausting. But in our gospel reading this morning, we meet Zechariah, who is kind of completing a moment of anticipation in his life. Zechariah is a relative of Jesus, married to Elizabeth, and we're told that Elizabeth is a relative of Mary's, so they're connected in some way, shape, or form. Zechariah and Elizabeth were unable to have children, and then we previous to our reading this morning, an angel comes to Zechariah and shares with him that they will have a baby and that this baby will be named John the Baptist and that John will be sent to prepare the way for Jesus who is to come. Now, Zechariah doesn't fully believe this messenger, and so Zechariah is struck mute. And so through the entire pregnancy of Elizabeth, Zechariah can't speak, which maybe Elizabeth enjoyed that part, who knows. But I think through this whole process, Zechariah is in anticipation of the birth of a son who they didn't think they could ever have, right? And he's living this out and processing and probably listening much deeper than before because he couldn't speak. And so then we get to our gospel this morning, which is his first words after the birth of John. And it's this song, this prophecy of things to come and things that are, that he starts to share. But the interesting thing about this prophecy that we hear from Zechariah is the tenses that he uses at the end of this moment of anticipation. So I don't know if you caught this, but Zechariah speaks of Jesus who isn't born yet. John is just born. Jesus is not born yet. He speaks of Jesus in the past tense. He speaks of the things that God has done. He says, God has looked favorably on God's people. God has raised up a mighty Savior for us. God has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors. Zechariah is speaking of salvation in Jesus' reign as that it has already come and happened, and yet Jesus isn't born yet. And then he switches tenses when he starts to talk about his own son, John. He speaks in the future tense, telling John that he will go before the Lord to prepare the way. He talks about the things that John will do. One would think that as you anticipate the birth of a child, you'd be speaking in the future tense. This is what we would expect from Zechariah. But this isn't what he does of Jesus. And I think this is really important for us to catch on to. When it comes to the person of John, the human of John, Zechariah speaks as we would expect him to, speaking of the things that he will do. But when Zechariah speaks of the divine person of Jesus, he's speaking of the things as if they have happened already, even though Jesus hasn't even been born yet. See, I think what's happening here is Zechariah is keying into something that we often struggle to understand. Zechariah, we have to remember, has come face to face with the Holy. Zechariah has had this experience with the messenger of God. He has had tons of time to think and process the things. He is living out this miracle where he didn't expect to have a child. And so he is experiencing the Holy in his life, in that moment, in this whole process. He's experiencing it all. So I can't help but wonder if Zechariah is realizing how too often we get caught up in the anticipation and we miss out on the glory that is currently present, the action of God in our lives, the things that are happening right now in our midst. For Zechariah, Jesus isn't born yet, but that doesn't mean that God's fulfillment of God's promise hasn't already happened. Zechariah is witnessing the glory of God already in his life. Zechariah, this glory of God that we hear about in our first reading that Emily read so wonderfully, the glory of God that is mercy and grace for a hurting world. Zechariah knows that God's plan is already in action because he knows who God is. Zechariah can celebrate what is going to happen as already happening because he's witnessed it. He's experienced it. He's come face to face with God. He's been struck mute with this power of God. He's been given a son out of barrenness, and he's witnessed the story of Mary, who's now holding the Son of God in her belly. Yes, God will be at work in the future with Jesus, but Zechariah already knows that God is and has been at work bringing about salvation with mercy and grace. Zechariah could speak of what's to come with Jesus, but then he'd be completely missing out on the things that God has already done. He'd be missing out on the glory of God that is right in front of him. And so I wonder, what does this mean for us? What does this mean for us as people who are in this moment in history where it seems like all we're doing is anticipating, all we're doing is looking forward to the future? What are the things that we're missing that are right in front of us? What are the miraculous things that God is up to or has already done in our midst right here and now? See, when we're in these moments of anticipation, it's easy to be focused on the future, right? Often anticipation is filled with uncertainty, stress, anxiety, uneasiness, And these are not places where we expect to see God show up, especially the glory of God. But I think this is precisely what Zechariah is getting at. God shows up in the midst of our anticipations. God shows up in the places where we don't expect. God's glory doesn't always look like the mountaintop highs on the edge of the Grand Canyon or in Zion National Park or in these beautiful places or heavenly angels singing. More often, the glory of God is seen in the baby that's born in a barn around a bunch of smelly animals. The glory of God is seen in a pregnant teen who is fearful for her life, not knowing what's to come. It's seen in the field with the poor shepherds who are outcasts. It's seen in the old couple who weren't expecting to be able to have a child. The glory of God is seen in a newborn baby that somehow is to be the savior of all creation. The glory of God is seen in these upside down, unorthodox ways where we wouldn't expect to see it at all. We don't expect to find God's glory in these times sitting around anxiously waiting for the unknown in our lives. And yet, this is precisely where God shows up and where this glorious work is happening. So church, we have a choice. God is doing this whether we see it or not. But we have a choice. We can sit here and anticipate for the Christ child to be born. We can sit here and anticipate for this pandemic to be over. We can sit here with anticipation for when everything will be reopened and our pews will be filled again and everything will be back to normal, whatever that is. Or we can recognize the glory of God that is all around us. We can recognize the 250 families that God has fed through us just a few weeks ago on Thanksgiving. We can recognize the multitude of young people who continue to come and worship with us and explore their faith and journey and confirmation in youth ministries. We can recognize the ways that we can worship together, whether it's here at Clifton or at Fairfax or digitally online halfway around the world. We can recognize the glory of God in the ways in which technology has connected us in ways that we've never imagined for us to be able to share the gospel and this good news of Christ beyond our wildest dreams. We can recognize the ways God has been actively at work in and through each and every one of you and is constantly bringing about new life from death that surrounds us. I don't think it should be lost on us that often anticipation and the things that we're looking forward to in the future, how often those things that we look forward to reflect things that are from the past, things that maybe have been put to death behind us. There's so many glorious things that we miss when we're focused on anticipating the future. Quite possibly the biggest is living our lives with joy and with this glory of God and sharing it with other people. So this Advent season, church, may you be like Zechariah and notice the things that God has done as we live with anticipation for that final future, knowing that the glorious future is something that's breaking into our present each and every day. And may you use this season of anticipation to see God's glory in the Christ child right here and now. Thanks be to God, and amen.